The Feast of Java, and this particular file is entitled Tinsel and Holly, and the Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot, when the children of Java dwelt in tents with Java. Praise Him for His wonderful ways, and we don't want the antitypes of the Feast of Tabernacles, that is, the pagan holy days. We don't want those, but we want Yahweh's ways that are mentioned in Isaiah 66, not in Isaiah 1, where He says, I hate your feasts, your mirth, your feast days, your Sabbath days, and holy, or feast days, rather, and your even your new moons. Well, what is this? Here He established the feast days and the new moons and the Sabbath days there that He seems to be criticizing in Isaiah chapter 1, I think it's verse 18 there. But yet, if you go to the end of the book of that Isaiah, to chapter 66, and scroll down to about verse 22, that is the second to the last verse in there, then He esteems His days and lifts them up, that they are His days that He originally created and gave to even to Adam and Eve and to his posterity. And through Moses then made it official, put it in writing on the tablets, along with the instructions for the building of the tabernacle, which is the instructions are called the testimony. So we're going to start out here with Isaiah chapter 9, since we're speaking of the Feast of Tabernacles, which is late in the summertime. You can find the specific instruction in Leviticus 23, somewhere near the end, about verse 45 on the Feast of Tabernacles. And that was the time that the Messiah tabernacled with men on earth here. He came to earth. He didn't come in December, and that's provable. You know, all you have to do is go to I think, the book of Luke. Of course it is the book of Luke. In chapter 1, find out when John the Baptist was conceived, and then what time he was born, and then the time the Messiah was conceived by the Ruach HaKadosh, by the Spirit, into Miriam, the earthly mother of Messiah. And there's 6 months difference in there, so just add the 6 months and you come out with the right time of year. Or an easier way, I was told, is just to go to Yahweh's death. We know that His death occurred and resurrection occurred in what is commonly called spring. We call it early summer here, late winter, early summer period, Passover. And that's when He died. We know that Messiah lived 33 and a half years, so there's a half in there. So just add 6 more months to it, or take away 6. Either way, add or take away the 6 months, and you come up with the reverse of the year. You come up to what is commonly called October, or September or October, depending upon what kind of a year, if it's an early or a late year. Okay, Isaiah 9, verse 7, of the increase of His government. Uh-oh, we're talking government here. We better back up and get away from that idea of law and all that. We don't want to have all that and judging going on. That would be terrible. And I'm only kidding. For unto us a child is born, in the previous verse. A child is born, and this refers to the Messiah right here. It's a messianic prophecy. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. That's the Messiah, as we find out by reading it later. And the government shall be upon His shoulder. Now, there's that dreaded word government again. And where there's government, there unfortunately are some laws. Oh well. And His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty Yahweh, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Instead of G-O-D, I did say Yahweh, and that's included in this website, instructions on why that is so. The translators used G-O-D, used a title like that. But if you look at the Hebrew, you find out that it's Y-H-V-H, Yahweh. Why does that spell God? Well, it doesn't spell it. So God doesn't belong in there, the 7,000 times that they use substitutes for Yahweh's name. So a little bit of a detour on that rabbit trail, but that's a good trail, isn't it? because it takes us right to not taking his name in vain and bringing it to naught. And then of the increase, in verse 7, of the increase, not decrease, but the increase of his government, and peace, or shalom, there shall be no end. There's no increase of his government. With more government comes more ways on how we can love our Messiah. More, the word law? No, we better not use that word law, because that's taboo. And upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. More politically incorrect words there, judgment and justice, or right ruling. The zeal of Yahweh of hosts will perform this. Yahweh sent a word unto Jacob, and it has lighted upon his people. All the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, that say in the pride and stoutness of heart, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. These sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. People are saying this. The inhabitants of Samaria. Verse 11, the next verse. Therefore, Yahweh, and not L-O-R-D, because that's incorrect if you look at the scroll, or look at the Hebrew there. In Hebrew, it does not mean Lord. Lord, Baal means Lord. But therefore, Yahweh, right, Yahweh shall set up the adversaries of reason against him, R-E-Z-I-N here in English, and join his enemies together, the Syrians before and the Philistines behind. So Yahweh is setting up these enemies against us right now in America here in 2010. We're actually recording this at a different time of year. We're not at Tabernacles right now. Tabernacles is September or October. And they shall devour the chosen with open mouth. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his head is stretched out, is stretched out still. For the people turneth not unto him that smiteth him, neither do they seek Yahweh of hosts. So Yahweh is smiting us right now with these curses. Not only the price of the ammunition and the gas pump there, that reading keeps going up, except during the ski season. And, a sign on the earth is not gas prices, but it's earthquakes, pestilence. We have that. Why do we have so many pharmakia, so many medicines and drugs out there being distributed over the counter? Why do we have so many people returning to the hospital? Because of our food isn't any good. And because they keep us working day and night, 24/7, practically, so that we don't get proper rest. We don't get proper shalom. We don't get exercise. This is Yahweh, not Yahweh website. I'm Stefan Yah, Eber. And we're in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, right now, talking about the Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot. It's a good thing to go to these feast days. However, you'll probably only find run-of-the-mill organizations to keep the feast with. We do keep the feast here. We travel from our home to some nearby place. If there's sickness in the family, severe sickness, we actually have to stay at home. And that's probably why this recording is being made from this studio right here, because we have been inheriting some of the curses, too, that have been passed down from our forefathers, and had to go through a lot of hard trials here about that. But we're fighting it and having success. But neither here nor there, although we are praising Yahweh for the healing that comes through the doctors, through the skilled doctor people. Verse 13, the people turneth not unto him that smite them. Yahweh, smite us some more. Teach us, to do right. Therefore, Yahweh will cut off from the chosen land head and tail, branch and rush in one day. Head and tail. And it explains, as you keep reading, what the head and tail means here. I don't think we're going to get that far today. But because of the scope of this, the shortness of these files, that you can't talk on forever, or it would take you forever to download them onto an MP3 player. But it says, the ancient and honorable, he is the head, And the prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail. So that was the next verse. I was wrong about that. The ancient and honorable is the head. The prophet that teacheth lies is the tail. So he will cut them off. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Now, does that mean that all synagogues and assemblies and convocations are bad, that all churches are bad? There's a lot of truth in every church, but in every synagogue, but unfortunately, they don't go far enough. And we don't have all the truth here either. It's up to you individually. Your responsibility is to keep pressing in there and studying the Word. Don't study a whole bunch of crazy books that are far out in left field from outer space or something. Right? And verse 17, therefore Yahweh shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have mercy on their fatherless and widows, for everyone is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. And we think of the elections this time of coming up here anyway, in 2010, and the government of the United States, and the individual states and counties, and corrupt city governments and counties, and, if I didn't say that. For all that, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. There's still an opportunity to repent and to turn, and there's still mercy when we turn to him and ask for forgiveness through the Savior, Mashiach. And that's the one who died on the tree at Calvary 2,000 years ago, the commonly called Jesus. That is incorrect. If you study into the name, that's Jesus, or Jesus came from Jesus. And anyway, we have that on the website there. We have that up there for you to read or listen to. For wickedness burneth as the fire, it shall devour the briars and thorns, and shall kindle in the thickets of the forest, and they shall mount up like the lifting up of smoke. Through the wrath of Yahweh of hosts is the land darkened, and the people shall be as the fuel of the fire. No man shall spare his brother, and he shall snatch on the right hand, and be hungry. We're in Isaiah 9. Near the end, and shall eat on the left hand, and they shall not be satisfied. They shall eat every man the flesh of his own arm. Is this cannibalism? Manasseh, Ephraim, and Ephraim, Manasseh. And they together shall be against Yehuda, or Judah, the actual Jews there, all the different types. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. The beautiful book of Isaiah, we can't emphasize enough how wonderful that book is. Maybe a new believer wouldn't understand a few of the symbols in here, but it wouldn't take long to learn that. And you can pick up a little guide too, about 500 archaic words in the King James Version. You pick up that booklet for practically free, 50 cents, available from www.givingandsharing.org. Says in the next chapter, woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, and that write grievousness which they have prescribed. The glory and the high looks. I will send him against a hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge to take the spoil, and to take the prey, and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. Howbeit he meaneth not so, neither does his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and cut off nations, not a few nations. O Yahweh, for he saith, are not my princes altogether kings? Now that's something to be studied there, the rest of that. I left off at chapter 10, verse 9 in Isaiah, the Feast of Tabernacles, where people love to play, they do that too, but they please Yahweh. They hopefully will become joyful. I don't know about this word hoppy or happy here. Seems like I read something derogatory about that happy or hopi somewhere. And my pastor says, it can't be so. But I know I read that. But joyful, I've never read anything bad about that word. Anyway. So there's thousands and thousands of English words that are still okay to use. Yahweh commands us to celebrate his feast days in Vayikra, or Leviticus 23. And also in quite a few other places, Numbers 28, Deuteronomy or Deuteronomy 14, so that's Leviticus 23, Numbers 28, and Deuteronomy 14, Colossians 2. I can't think of any others, but there's a lot of them in the New and Old Testaments there. Believers can gather for all 8 days of the Feast of Tabernacles, otherwise known as Tabernacles. It's in Hebrew, Sukkot, or Sukkoth, with a T-H. Zechariah 14, or people call it Zechariah 14, speaks of the Feast of Tabernacles. And whether or not I can find it quickly there, I'm already at chapter 1. And this would be one of the main chapters in a bone of contention. People get into arguments that the feasts were done away with, but here it says, "Behold, the day of Yahweh cometh, and the spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city will be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall Yahweh go forth and fight against those nations." He's going to do that for you. "As when he fought in the day of battle." Listen to this, verse 4. Don't go away, believers. "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which he is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a great valley, and half of it to the mountain shall move toward the north, and half of it toward the south." You could also see Revelation 19:11-16. Or Isaiah 64. "And he shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azaleah. You shall flee, like as you have fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah king of Yehuda, and Yahweh, my mighty one, my Yahweh, shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark." Also see 1 Thessalonians 4:13 in the newer scriptures. "But it shall be one day." So he said, "It shall come to pass that the light shall not be clear, but it shall be one day which shall be known to Yahweh, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be." So he doesn't say these other names, spring, fall, autumn, or any of that stuff in the Old Testament, or in the New either, for that matter, the so-called Old and New. But he says summer and winter. And that was Zechariah, last chapter, verse 8. "And Yahweh shall be king over all the earth, and that day shall there be one Yahweh." He says L-O-R-D, which is incorrect. That is totally incorrect. There's no L-O-R-D in Hebrew. "And his name, one," or Echad in Hebrew, which doesn't really matter. You don't have to memorize that. "Yahweh shall be turned as a plain," or excuse me, "all the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon," or Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. "And it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate," or Benjamin's gate, "unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel unto the king's winepress, and men shall dwell in it." And for some of you, that's a little complicated there, so just let me skip a little bit for now. You could read that if you want. It's not wrong to go here and there, and a little here and a little there. So we just skip over down to verse 16 from verse 11, okay? "And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to praise the King, Yahweh of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." Most of the Protestant preachers would tell you that the Feast of Tabernacles is done away with, but here, obviously, in this context of chapter 14, Zechariah, that it is speaking of a future time. We note that in the past time that they definitely kept the Feast of Tabernacles. We're not in the future yet, so we don't know what we'll be doing or what they will be doing if for some reason that we don't make it because we fail to trust in Yahweh and if we're not concerned about going to the heavenly place, if we'd rather play cards with the devil, so symbolically, then so be it. But we don't want that to happen to any of you, and I'm sure he doesn't want it to happen even more than we do. But it says to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. How about that, huh? Have you ever heard that verse? So this is, we continue. It shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to praise the king, Yahweh of armies, or hosts, even unto them shall be no rain. People always complain about the rain, even if it only rains one day a month. Oh, I hate the rain. I don't like it. I just like it to be sunny all the time. But, yes, some other voice speaking there. But it's true that people don't like rain, and yet they want to enjoy the prosperity of their crops. They want to see the trees grow a little, I guess. And they like green trees, apparently. They like to see green grass instead of the old dried up stuff that you see in Central California and places around the world. So Zechariah 14:18, and if the family of Egypt go not up, now the family of Egypt could include a lot more than what is contained within that as our concept of the word Egypt, but if the family of Egypt, so it includes us too, if we go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the that shall be the plague, wherewith Yahweh will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Mitzrayim, and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And in that day there shall be upon the bells of the horses separation unto Yahweh. And the pots in Yahweh's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yes, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be separated unto Yahweh of the armies. And all they that have slaughter offerings shall come and take of them and see therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of Yahweh of hosts. The Canaanite were a pagan people in there, even though the chosen people had to dwell there for many years. Huh? So that's the end of that chapter. And if you've never read that before, I encourage you to read it another 1,000 times or so, and especially when Protestants try, or others try to argue that there is no Feast of Tabernacles, why not pick it up there at Zechariah 14, somewhere near the end, or the end of Isaiah 66, because the anti-type of tabernacles is Christmas and Easter. Christmas is a Catholic holiday, and I kept it for 40, 50 years. I taught Roman Catholic religion for 2 years, and went to their institutions and all, and there are many fine people that I found in the Catholic faith. However, Christmas is, by definition, Christ's Mass, and the Mass is the re-sacrifice of our Savior, and the bloody sacrifice, according to the Vatican's definition, that it is the bloody sacrifice of Almighty Yahweh, whom they call Jesus. So they say, my voice has gone out. Have yourself a Merry Christmas. Okay, they say. They like to say that. Well, Christmas originated, in sun worship. It is immersed in idolatry throughout, and there's no command to keep it. And strangely enough, that on Christmas Day, most churches are usually closed, unless it's the Roman Catholic or Lutheran Church, usually. But wherever we have attended for Protestant services, those churches would be closed when it is their great day. They think it's the greatest day of all to praise the Savior, but yet we just read that the feasts are the greatest, according to Yahweh. According to Psalm 19, Yahweh says the law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. The fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. Commandments of Yahweh are true and righteous altogether. Yes, excuse me, it doesn't say that. I'm trying to wing it here. Oops, everything fell out there. The law is perfect, converting the soul. Testimony is sure, making wise the simple. Statutes are right, rejoicing the heart. Commandment of Yahweh is pure, lightening the eyes. Fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. And here we have the feast days. The judgments of Yahweh are true and righteous altogether. Judgments are, you find the feast days there in Exodus 20, I think it's 22, but anyway, Exodus 21 through 23 are the judgments or the privileges. And by the way, Christmas inspires us to break the 10th commandment in coveting things. People love to talk about the tinsel and the holly, the lights, the tree, and they drink and give themselves presents. Isn't that nice? But Yahweh's word inspires us to love and obey him. The feast days, I've seen people gather together for the feasts. I don't see too many bad ones, but all the good ones are talking about Scripture, about Yahweh. And believers can gather for Sukkot, according to Leviticus 23. You see them at lunchtime. They frequently talk about prophecy and Scriptures. It's a blessed time. Nehemiah 8 is another great Feast of Tabernacles chapter. Yahweh takes care of our appetites correctly and rightly. We give to the poor from our tithes. You return only praise and love. But Christmas inspires us to break the 10th commandment. Coveting creates an insatiable appetite, whereas Yahweh quenches our appetites. We return merchandise the next day after Christmas. I want something different. I want something better. But he quenches our appetite, and we get the whole family together to you know, love one another, and love the messages, love sleeping in the church. Sometime I've done that to enjoy the meals, the pies and the cakes and the beef and the vegetables and all the goodies there. It's all kosher. Yahweh quenches our appetites, and we give tithes to the poor. We give to Yahweh. We return the praise and love. And some scriptures for that, even though they tell you that tithing was done away with because the law is done away with, supposedly. Malachi 4, Hebrews 7, Numbers, many places, but Numbers 18, 24, Numbers 27, 30. You can look up our website there. I'm on the page that says Tinsel and Holly Feast Tabernacles in text there. We will not be wearing gay apparel during the Feast of Tabernacles. We'll only be wearing scriptural apparel. And furthermore, in September or October, you will not freeze. The songs are written by Moses and David, the psalmist. Where, on the other hand, for the pagan holidays, caroling makes you feel good inside. You sing songs by Irving Berlin with gay apparel. In the Chosen Land, that is over there near Jerusalem, that time of year, your toes freeze to death, don't they? Yeah, it does get cold there. You couldn't be out there watching your flocks by night during the Feast of Tabernacles, or certainly not in what we commonly call the common month of December. The scriptural New Year, the scriptural one, is at the recreation of green grass and flowers and all creations in the earth, at least in this part of the hemisphere. And around Jerusalem, for certainly. The months begin at the new crescent moon, and the days begin or end at sunset. So our system is totally different from the Roman system. And the scriptures for that, Mark chapter 1, verse 32. That's 1:32 of Mark. And over there in Leviticus 23:32. The Roman New Year, on the other hand, is in the dead of winter, and the months are set by Pope Gregory, who is now long dead after 1,500 years or thereabouts. Their days began in the dead of the night, at 12 o'clock. And a good place to go for that is in the book of Galatians, about the holidays. You'll find that in chapter 4. And there's much more to talk about, but we need to keep the file shorter here. I've already gone 29 minutes, so we'll stop here and continue for a break, and then part two of Tinsel, Holly, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Shalom.